All right, so I'm here with my grandmother on my mom's side, also known as my Nana. I believe that's Italian. I don't know where it comes from. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine.
All right, so this interview is all about you, so feel free to answer however you want. There's no wrong answers. It's an interview, not a questionnaire. Okay, so let's start with a few questions here. So, where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Northern California in a little tiny town, but I didn't stay there long. We moved down to Southern California, and that's where I was. Different homes, different houses we moved to, but that's where I grew up in Southern California.
All right, so how did you like Southern California? Because, I mean, it seems pretty great, but still.
I like it. I can't think of any other state that I'd rather relocate in, even with retirement. I still prefer California. Weather's always pretty great, and you can get to the ocean, to the mountains, to the desert, all within just a few hours from home, which is always kind of nice, so you have a choice.
It is a very diverse state. It's also, yes, in my opinion, the best coast, because this coast's pretty terrible, because there's, like, sand and rocks. And really old mountains. That's it. That's all we have on this coast. So,
well,
yeah.
You like our beaches, and you liked our mountains, and you like the northern coast. So, yeah, I kind of prefer California.
Yeah, California's much better. All right, so what was your childhood like?
I was raised mostly by my mother. My father wasn't around, and I had two sisters. We had a good childhood. I didn't have a lot of money, but everybody cared about each other, so we had a really good time growing up. Didn't get to go many places. We didn't have a car, so whatever we did, we took the city bus. We rarely went anywhere other than our neighborhood, but I always had a lot of kids that we ran around with, and it was a good childhood. It was fun.
I mean, it is pretty great, California. You don't really need to go anywhere, except for
no.
the beach.
No, so, you're right.
Who were your favorite relatives?
My mom.
I hear she made pretty good French toast.
My mom was a great cook. She made great French toast for your mom, for my daughter, when she was growing up. But for me, it was all the Southern cooking. She did great fried chicken and potato salad and biscuits and gravy, chocolate cake, chocolate pies, cookies. We had cookies fresh baked almost every day when we got home from school. So other than a weight problem, it was a pretty good childhood.
I don't think there was that much of a weight problem. But clearly, the cooking skills have passed down, because I can confirm that you are pretty good in the culinary arts, unlike
me. Well, thank you.
Because I am terrible at cooking. So, do you remember any stories that they used to tell you?
Oh, my mother had terrific stories. She grew up on a farm in Oklahoma.
That's significantly farther than California.
Yes, and it's not. I've only been through there once, and it's not a state that I personally would care about. It does get very cold in the winter. She has a story that she used to tell us all the time about when she was born. It was in January, and there was snow all the way up to the horse's top of his legs when her dad had to go and get a doctor. She was born at home. And it took him a while to get the doctor there through all the snow. Grew up quite poor. They picked cotton in part of the year, and she had to care for her brothers and sisters. I think she had about five of them. Her mother died when she was only, I think she was about 10 or 12 when her mom died. So she more or less was the mother of the family and took care of everything. I think that's where she learned how to cook so well.
I would figure.
But that was the one story that she used to always... I mean, she had other stories about what they did as kids, which was, I mean, even less than we had a chance to do, because they were working all the time. But that was about the only story she ever talked about. Every year on her birthday, she would come up with that same story about the horse going through the snow.
So how many stories did she have about going to school? Because it seems to be that every single generation proceeds to say that it was harder and harder to get to school, especially with Opa, who says he took a wagon.
It was 5 miles in the snow, uphill, both ways.
In a wagon, being drawn by a dog. Of course.
No, they didn't have the dog. They had to pull each other on sleds.
That sounds pretty great.
Sounds even worse.
I must say that even as terrible as the bus is, it's significantly better than walking 5 miles
walking
in the snow uphill.
In the snow uphill. Yeah, that was her favorite thing. But like I said, she loved school, but she just had to leave early and take care of her family, her younger brothers and sisters, so... But as long as she was going to school, she didn't complain about it. She was just saying that, you know, they had no transportation. They didn't even have a bus service where she was on the farm.
Well, I mean, it is rural Oklahoma, so didn't expect there to be much in the way of infrastructure.
Nope.
So, how did you and Opa, which is my grandfather, by the way, meet?
I was in high school. It was in the 60s, and he was in the Navy. We met through a mutual friend that I was friends with, and he brought Opa with him one time, and then we started dating. We got married. I was about out of high school for about 6 months when we got married, and we just celebrated our 50th anniversary this month. So that was 50 years ago that we got married, but that's how we met.
That is a pretty long time to be married, and certainly
You're
quite
right.
impressive. With so, what was it like having my mother when she was growing up?
It was wonderful. Your mom was a terrible baby. She cried all the time for the first year. I only slept maybe an hour at a time. She was just not a very happy baby. But after the first year, she was very, very easy. I never had to tell her more than once to do something. She'd caught on very quick. She did what she was supposed to, and it was like I didn't even have to worry about her. It was quite pleasant. And then as she got older, she and I did a lot of fun things together. So it was pretty nice being her mom. She is my only child.
What were some of the fun things that you did?
Well, you know it's shopping.
Yeah, I know it's shopping. I know that from experience.
And then I used to take her to Disneyland on her birthday every year, just her and I. We like to go to movies together. We went to a lot of the movies that Opa never cared about seeing too much. So her and I would go see all the Disney movies and go out to lunch. That was always quite nice. And anything else that she felt like she wanted to do, I gave her dance lessons, baton lessons, piano lessons, just about anything she wanted to try, we made sure she got to try it.
That is a lot of lessons.
Yeah, it is.
So, I mean, like, how different was it when you could afford to take her to Disneyland on every birthday? Because, like, obviously now, it'll cost you an arm and a leg to go to Disneyland for, like, a day.
Yes.
So...
Yeah, if they just raised the price, it's over $130 a day now for one park. That's one visit. Back then, it was kind of funny. You paid to get in. It was, like, $3 to get in, but then every ride was separate, so you had to buy tickets to do the rides. It wasn't unlimited. That came later on. But it was still reasonable. You could afford to go, so that was her birthday. She shared a birthday with Mickey Mouse the same day, so it was always quite nice that we would go and celebrate her birthday along with Mickey Mouse's birthday. So she always had fun there, and we made a complete day and evening of it as long as they stayed open. But that was our big thing every year for her birthday.
Sounds pretty great, and also probably a lot better than it is now with, like, 1,000 people all
with
crammed
crowds,
into a line.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It was terrible, the lines, when we went there.
Yeah.
So
it's gotten much worse. It was not bad when you were real little. We used to go quite often. I don't know if you remember or not.
When Ladybug boogie, like, 1,000 times, that was great.
Yeah, we used to go. You'd come and stay 2 or 3 weeks, and we would go to Disneyland about 7 or 8 times during that 2 or 3 weeks because we had a pass, and you you boys loved it. So that was our favorite place to go. But the, like I said, the lines weren't long back then as bad. So you got to go on rides.
Yeah, seems significantly better than it is now. Gotta love inflation. So, do you remember to sing, or remember any songs that you used to sing her?
You know, I don't have a very good singing voice, so I...
Okay,
you know,
the second part of the question is, can you sing them? So you could just say
No. You
do remember of any songs.
I do remember a few, the regular Rockabye Baby, that was about it. But I do remember singing to you when we brought you home from the hospital. Let's get this party started. I sang that to you because you were so cute in your little nighty thing, and I was playing with and stretching your legs out, so I was singing "Let's Get This Party Started." So I do remember singing that, and you were too little to complain about my singing, so it worked okay.
I mean, I probably still wouldn't complain about your singing, considering some of the people I've heard singing, like my brother singing literally every second of every day. Random musical shows, tunes.
I know.
My gosh. It's really, really annoying. I think we already sort of went over how she was pretty well behaved, because, you know.
Oh, yes. She was very, very well behaved. Very well, did all her homework. I never had to ask her to do homework. She always did it herself. She was, she wrote all her essays to get into college all by herself and her applications. I never had to do anything. I didn't have to give her a curfew because she was always home at a reasonable hour on her own. She was like raising herself. She was very, very easy to take care of.
That is significantly better than me, but we're not going to talk about that.
At least
I don't stay out late. So, this is an interesting question. What is the worst thing that she ever did?
Oh, that stands out in my mind. She was about...
It's an interesting question.
She was about 2 years old, and she didn't like me being on the phone with my sister or my mom, and she kind of was picking at me to stop so I could play with her, and I kept talking. She went to our refrigerator and got a little basket of cherry tomatoes, got in front of the TV, and squished them in my carpet. And I didn't even realize it until I smelled tomatoes. The whole house smelled like tomatoes. But she was not going to be ignored. That was the one thing that she ever did to get attention.
Are you still growing tomatoes? Because I know last time you were there, you had tomatoes.
No, we haven't because we travel so much. The last few times we had them, we left town just as they were being ready to be picked. So we had our neighbors all pick them, and we didn't even get a taste of them. So Opa stopped putting them in the ground at all, so we haven't had tomatoes for the last couple of years.
You should just get a planter for the motorhome.
Well, we're not in the motorhome when we go. We went on a cruise, and then we went cross-country this year in the fall. So we were gone for a month and then gone for 2 weeks again, so that would have been right during the time that they need watering quite often and picked. So, you know, we used to, years and years ago, we had a larger yard, and we used to grow tomatoes and zucchini. What else did we grow? I think some kind of lettuce. It was a nice little farm, but again, we always grew more than we could take care of, so I had to pick it, and then I had to take it into work and give it away.
Yeah, so that is certainly interesting. Speaking of cross-country trips, I don't know, I'm just making this up. Can you remember any interesting stories from our cross-country trip, whenever that was? Like squeaky cheese.
Of course. That was in 2010, I believe.
Wow, that...
2009. Probably 2009.
The fact that was a decade ago is interesting.
Yes. And we went up into San Francisco. We took a ferry across from the RV park and went into the city for the day. And then we went to the Jelly Belly factory between there and Sacramento.
I must say, that is quite the place. We
fun.
Still have, like, six cups from there.
That place, I know. They had a cute little kids' luncheon, so we all ended up, even Opa and I ended up getting a kids' lunch.
I don't know why, really nice. But I still distinctly remember the taste of the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah, they were good.
I don't know why, But talking about this, I can taste it.
You can taste it.
Yeah, it's
and
really
all the
weird.
Jelly bellies. I got bags and bags and.
Yeah,
and
there were a lot of jelly bellies.
Yeah, we filled the whole motorhome with jelly bellies. I remember that part. I remember Seattle was fun. We had to take a bus from the RV.
You know, the Space Needle's the same on all four sides.
I do know that. Thank you for reminding me that again when I was trying to get my idea of where we were, and I remember pointing to it and thinking it was we're going in the right direction, but everybody was quick in telling me that
it is the exact same on every single side.
From all sides. But we went to Seattle. I remember that. I remember Mount Rushmore. I remember.
Oh boy, RRC.
Yes, that chicken that somebody.
That chicken smelled terrible.
But you boys love the water slide.
I remember that water slide was pretty great. I don't remember where that was.
That was in Mount Rushmore, in the RV park in Mount Rushmore. What else? Niagara Falls. I remember going over to the Canadian side of Niagara Falls. And
Canadian side is always better than the American side.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful falls. That was the first time I'd ever seen that. I do remember seeing Plymouth Rock when Opa had
Yeah, Plymouth Rock. That was interesting.
Drive that motorhome in these little streets and park it. We walked to Plymouth Rock, and I remember you looking at me and you said, "Nana, we came all that way for this because it was so
little." It's literally it's not even the full rock. It's just a fragment of the rock.
It was a piece of rock, but none of us had seen it before, so we got to see that. Then we saw Gettysburg. We ended up seeing a reenactment of the Civil War there at that campsite. I think we saw the potato chip factory in Pennsylvania.
That was in Pennsylvania?
That was in Pennsylvania. It was near, your mom would know the city because we went back after, I think the next year when I came over.
Yeah, we did go back there.
We went back to
see the Canal Museum and Crayola Factory.
Yes, Crayola Factory, and we went back through that, and I remember the, it's Hertz Potato Chip Factory. And
that place is amazing. Now I know that the green parts on potato chips are actually pretty great. So,
and I couldn't stand eating a regular potato chip for a long time after I tasted those hot off.
Yeah, it is the best potato chip I have ever tasted.
Mm-hmm. It was so good.
So I think we should go back there at some point.
That would be fun. We could go when we're there the next time. We could go up and spend a day or so in that area.
We should go back to California at some point.
Yeah, you do need to come back out here, but see, Maui's so much better than California.
See, Maui is better, but now we have to pay more money. So, like,
well, it's still, you know, it's still a nice place, and it's still the same resort that we go to.
It is?
It's the same resort. It's Kamaole Sands.
Is it just a different building?
It's the same. It's on the fourth floor, but it's a different building. And it's in the middle, not on the corner.
So it's not 5401, it's 5-4...
It's 7403, I think it is. It's in the middle.
I don't even know where 7 is.
Yeah, it's kind of to the... If you're on our lanai, you look to the left, and it's two buildings up from where we were, I believe. I just saw a picture of it from the... I haven't seen it, itself. But I do need dates so I can make airline reservations for everybody. I need to know dates when you really want to go and how long you want to stay.
Yeah, I can't answer most of those questions. I can tell you, probably not much going on. So,
okay.
I'm pretty much open. I don't know about other people.
Well, then I could book you, and you could come and stay
there. Yeah, I could just go there and spend time with you.
And they could come whenever. You could still go diving with Opa.
That is true.
And he's going to be diving every chance he gets, so you'd still have that opportunity.
Speaking of diving, how many diving places are there in California? Because the only place I've been is Maui, so...
Maui. Well, there's several. There's a lot down at, Doheny Beach? We've gone down there.
Oh, I love Doheny Beach.
Okay, well, there's a dive shop in that city right there in Dana Point. But and Opa used to dive in California, but the water
is
so much colder here.
Super cold, because yay currents dragging cold water from the Arctic.
Yep. And you have to wear a real thick wetsuit, and he doesn't think it's as much fun. He's gone to Catalina. You know, they take the boat out and go to Catalina and went scuba diving there, but he said it's just not as much fun. You guys don't even wear a wetsuit.
No, I don't wear a wetsuit, so I'm pretty sure if I went into California without a wetsuit, I would
freeze to
death. I would not come back out.
No. even with the wetsuit, it's quite cold. So, and the water's not as pretty and clear, so you don't get to see as much either in California. So I think that's why he's only been diving once since he started diving again in California. But he's, I think, done, I don't know how many dives in Honolulu and Maui on our cruises. He always dives in Honolulu. And then in the summer, he goes diving in Maui with you guys.
I, from experience, would probably assume that Maui is still better than Honolulu.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's right up there with Bora Bora. He's gone diving in Bora Bora, but he said he actually likes Maui better because the water isn't quite as warm as it is in Bora Bora, but you do get to see more because it's a protected area. So the fish and everything, like at Molokini, the fish are all protected, so no one can, they can't go fishing there, and they can't mess up with them and kill all the fish, so you always get to see something when you go there.
Yeah, although recently Molokini has not been all that interesting, because there's just so many people going there that all the fish are like, well, not going to do anything now.
It gets overdone, but Opa said that he did like the place you guys went on your last dive in, out of Lahaina. I don't remember.
That place was great, yeah, the cathedral.
Lanai. And he said he liked that one, so I think he even went once. Maybe he didn't go there after you left. I think that was the only time he went. It was when he went with you guys. But he said he would probably this summer try to hit that one at least once or twice.
We should definitely do that, yeah. That was probably the best because, you know.
He weren't so used to it, but they did show.
Although the cathedral was, like, cool, we only spent, like, maybe 20 seconds in there, and there wasn't anything in it. So
nothing to see. So it's still good to see the combination. Now, the Blessy that you dive with, the lady that does animals on your dive, she posted on Facebook the other day. She posted
I guess she saw a whale shark.
It was, no, it was stingray down at the bottom.
A stingray?
And she's a stingray that she was following, and she said, and the music's provided by the humpback whales. She had
Wait. So there were not only there was a stingray, but there was also humpback whales singing in the background.
Yes, you could hear. They said when you dive this time of year, you actually hear those whales singing, and it was on the Facebook. She had taped it, or it was part of her sound, and you could hear them singing to one another, and that made me want to scuba dive, and I can't even swim. So that really looked like a lot of fun.
Learn to swim. It is pretty great. And also, there are whales, although not that often.
Yeah, you just, if you, once you're out of school, and you could go in February and March, I think that's the best time.
We definitely need to go during whale season.
Yes, I think you would really love it, from what I heard. In fact, I'll try to see if he's got a tape of that, and we'll send it to you, maybe to your phone. See if we can send you you don't have email. We'll figure something out.
No, I do have an email.
To your mom. Oh, do you?
Yes, I do. I just don't use Facebook.
Okay. Well, I'll see if I can get a copy of that because it really sounds. He put it on the TV with the chip, and it sounded phenomenal. I mean, it was beautiful, natural whale sounds.
Yeah, whales are pretty great. I don't know why people continue to whale. It's pretty awful.
It's dreadful to think about, but
and
at
I,
least
I
these,
think Japan
these
just started doing it
they
again.
Started doing it
it's
again,
like, what the hell, Japan? Calm down. You don't need money. You need an ecosystem so you don't die. Money is useless when you're all dying because of global warming and the ecosystem's been killed. Gotta love that.
So far the humpbacks are safe because they spend their winters in Hawaii and then the summer, I guess, they go and eat in Alaska. So
we should go to Alaska too.
I don't know that you would be that impressed because it's rather the water, you know, you don't get in the water there. It's too cold.
I mean, you could get in the water there. Probably not, but you technically
it's
can.
It's colder than California, and we went in September, but it's still pretty. That we did the cruise, so we didn't see as much of the inland part. And it depends on the time of year whether you see any of the big animals or anything, but it's lovely. It's pretty. I did it once, but it's not a place that, it's not Maui. It's not warm and sunny and breezy in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's tropical locations are usually better.
It's a little better for vacation to me.
Oh, back to more actual questions.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have any questions? You're not going to get credit for this.
Well, I mean, technically, I just need to interview you. There's no actual thing. I could interview you in German. Because there are people who...
Oh, that would be like, really good. Interview me in German and Italian, and I'll probably...
Yeah, Italian. Pizza.
Pasta.
At one point, weren't you trying to learn Italian?
I did. I got my Rosetta Stone, and I was pretty good for a little bit. I could copy some of their words, but then if you don't do it every day, you forget. So, but I still found some... Il dolce far niente. The sweetness of doing nothing. That's the only thing I've retained.
That is the only useful phrase in the entire language.
The sweetness of doing nothing, because I love just relaxing and reading. That's my weakness.
You know, Duolingo would be sure to tell you if you got off your normal schedule of learning your language, because they, like, I decided, because I was bored, I was going to learn Klingon, because they have Klingon, and why not learn Klingon?
Really?
Yes, they actually have Klingon. And then, literally 2 minutes after I, like, stopped doing it, they just send me a notification. It's like, hey, you want to go back to your Klingon? And then after, like, 2 days of passive-aggressive texting, they were like, well, I guess these reminders aren't working, so we'll just stop for now. It's the most passive-aggressive app I have ever seen.
Oh, my goodness. No, I did it, because when I took it when we went in the motorhome, we'd go to the desert, and that was something I would do, is spend an hour or so a day, at least, learning some of the phrases in Italian in case I ever go back to Italy. But I just kind of gave it up.
I mean, it is pretty helpful knowing other languages.
Oh, I bet it would be. I would love to learn Spanish, since it's about 50% of the people in California, that's the language they speak. So
that would have been very, that does very, make sense.
Good for me to learn that, but I just didn't take the time with growing up.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was forced to take Spanish, but I remember none of it because I was forced to take Spanish.
Right,
which is why we shouldn't be forced to learn things, because we're never going to use it. It's just a waste of time. We could be doing something else. But yeah.
That's true with some things, but you just have to use it. If I had learned Spanish, I could have used it to communicate with the people. When I worked at the elementary school, I could communicate with
that,
the students.
That would
parents,
be very helpful.
And it would have been very helpful, rather than have to ask somebody to come and interpret for me.
I mean, like, I technically know multiple languages, but I only really know one word, except for English and German. But, but I mean, like, you might want to start learning Chinese and Russian.
I still like some of the Hawaiian words, aloha, mahalo.
Yeah, Hawaiian is an interesting language.
It's
kinda, make it easy to understand there. By making multiple words mean the same thing.
I know, but it's still pretty language to listen to.
I mean, like, how many things does aloha even mean?
Hello, goodbye, see you again. Bless you. I don't even know how many things, but aloha is an all-encompassing. If you want something to say to someone, you're not sure what, aloha or mahalo for thank you always works well.
I mean, it does make it convenient, because, like, you're struggling for words. Just, here, choose this one. Interpret it as you will. It means one of 30 different things. And it's nowhere near as complicated as Chinese, where they're... You have the same word with the same spelling and everything, but the way you pronounce it, super subtle inflections, makes it the difference between saying, you look nice today, and you look like a horse's bottom. So,
you have to be very careful.
It's complicated language.
I love the commercials for the foreign language babble, when the lady thinks she's got it down really good.
The subtitles, it's like...
To date me. It's a cute commercial. I like it.
Yeah, there's some pretty interesting commercials. Wow. Back to this. What were your parents like?
Well, my dad, like I said, he left when I was about 4, so I really didn't get to know him all that well. My mom, she was nice. She was fun. She was strict. We had pretty strict rules.
Well, I mean, if you have strict rules, then you're going to turn out to be a pretty fine person, because you aren't going to be smoking at the corner of the malt shop every day.
No. Of course, my mother smoked, so she probably wouldn't have got on us for that.
Well, I mean, that's sort of a modern issue.
Yeah. But if we would have been drinking or carousing or getting into trouble with our friends, we knew. I used to say, if I ever got in trouble at school, don't bother sending me to the principal or calling my mom, just shoot me, because when I got home, that's what she would do, is probably shoot me. None of us ever got into any mischief because we knew that whatever she did was going to be 10 times worse than what they did at the school. That kept us pretty honest.
I mean, I don't know why they took away paddling. I mean, it's pretty effective, because now, maybe not paddling, but as you can see now, I'm sure you saw when you were teaching, you went from a transition period to where nobody decided to interrupt and be an idiot for the sake of being an idiot, and then punishing everyone else by taking their time away. Because, if you did that in China, you would get thrown out of school. So...
Well, I think that is a better answer than the paddling. Not allowing anybody else to use a paddle, but I think knowing that, you know, you could get sent outside or be reprimanded in some other way, or if you're sent home and your parents reprimand you pretty tough. Like I said, my mother would have been tougher on me than any teacher or principal would have been, and paddling was allowed then. Believe me, a lot of my friends did get paddled, but I never did anything to get into trouble, because the worst I ever did was have to spend 20 minutes in detention because I talked in class with a substitute. And he asked everybody to put their name on the board if they talked, and I had, so I put my name on the board, so I had to have detention, which meant I missed my school bus.
But hey, at least you were honest.
Yes, I was honest, and it got me nowhere. It got me in detention.
Because, I mean, like,
the principal had to drive me home.
The worst thing that I've ever done is, forgetting. At one point, this was ridiculous. Like, the first, worksheet that I forgot in math in eighth grade, immediately, this teacher I did not like very much was like, yeah, you're getting lunch detention. It's like, okay, calm down. It's one worksheet that I forgot, and I didn't even really forget it. I just, lost it and turned it in at the end of class instead. And I did not like her in the slightest.
Well, see, sometimes, though, you have to think ahead, because sometimes those teachers, they're not doing it for their own benefit. They're doing it so that you'll remember the next time. It's like a lot of schools won't allow a parent to bring a lunch or your papers to class just because you forgot them, because they said it's your responsibility to remember. Now, your parents could remind you before you left that you have to bring, make sure you bring all this stuff. But if they have to bring it to you every day because you can't be bothered, that's not going to help you when you grow up, because no one's going to be there to do that for you.
Yeah, but that is a pretty good policy. Even if they fail now, they're going to learn from the mistakes.
Right. And I think that's, or go hungry. They have to eat a snack. That's what I used to pack in my desk, extra food for the kids that forgot their lunches. But I think if you could teach them responsibility, I think that's the hardest thing for a teacher to get across. But it's not because they're trying to be mean. It's because they really do care about what happens to you later.
Well, I mean, this example, they were just being rude for the sake of being rude. But I see your point. It does make sense. But sometimes you just get a teacher who wants to make your life miserable because they're power hungry. And they shouldn't really be hired in the first place.
Well, they shouldn't have gone into that. If they don't care, they shouldn't go into that line of work. But, I have to say, I've known a lot of teachers, and most of them are there for the right reason.
Which is good, and why we should probably pay them more money instead of just...
What they're worth, exactly.
Yeah, which is why we should pay them more than congressmen who do basically nothing their entire lives and get millions of dollars, when you have people who are training more people to become everything we need, the root of society, and you're like, yeah, here's slightly above minimum wage.
Yeah, and they have to buy their own supplies and supplies for the kids, and... It's not right. It used to be that the teachers were respected and paid, a decent wage according to what everybody else is earning, and I think that's gone by the wayside, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, especially in our county, people just treat school like a daycare and don't really care about the teachers. It's like, that's not the point. If you didn't want to have kids, don't have kids. This isn't your free daycare. This is their well-being and education. Right, and you shouldn't be throwing this aside because you don't want to deal with little Timmy having a temper tantrum over an apple juice box.
I was just thinking about a few temper tantrums you threw, but most of those were prior to school age.
Yeah.
So it's understandable then.
At least I didn't squish any cherry tomatoes into the carpet.
No, you didn't. You didn't do that.
Not that this carpet is any point to, you know, not...
It's pretty terrible anyways,
this carpet, so I don't think it would be that bad with some stains in it.
Well, this was a new carpet at the time. I mean, it was, you know, it was when we first got... We had only had the house a year or so. And it was decent carpet, and she smushed it, but I got it cleaned up. Most of the stain up there. And I couldn't blame her because she had tried to get my attention.
I mean, you could blame her, but yeah, you wouldn't really have the high ground there, so...
So I just... And I didn't really get that angry. I just made sure that she didn't have access to the cherry tomatoes again. And it's not like she ate them. She just squished them into the carpet. Not like she was hungry and wanted one.
I don't know why you would eat cherry tomatoes. It's like, have a full-size tomato or just don't.
Oh, cherry tomatoes right off the vine are fantastic.
Well, I mean, Mitch hates them now because of how many he ate when we went over there. I don't understand how you get a fear of tomatoes because you eat tomatoes.
He's never liked tomatoes too much, and he hates fruit.
I mean, it's basically just water. It can't really be that bad. Water with a bit of flavor.
I know, but he always had a thing about fruit. He didn't want it on his plate.
He didn't want it touching.
Garnish, he would want it removed off of his plate.
Well, I mean, like, I had to cut all the crust off of my sandwiches, so I don't really have any room to be judging him here.
But a lot of people do that, but you eat fruit.
I do eat fruit.
You eat grapes. You eat...
fruit is pretty good.
Mango. You eat pineapple.
Mango. Mango and peaches, that's where it's at.
Yeah, that's the best.
Those are the god-tier fruits. Like, you've got mediocre fruits, and then you have... This fruit is the nectar of the gods.
Right, fresh pineapple that's really ripe, or a mango that's just perfect.
Or a $13 pineapple from down to earth on Maui, Hawaii.
That's true. Only, you know what? I don't think you even got to taste it.
I did not get to taste it because she ate the entire pineapple by the time I would have been able to eat it. So I will never be able to experience true divine pineapples.
$13 pineapple for her to... Maybe she'll share this one.
Hopefully, but I don't think it'll be anywhere near as good because you're not getting that good of a pineapple. If it's as good as it's been proclaimed to be... That's a once-in-a-lifetime experience right there.
Yeah, that's true. There probably isn't another one that's going to be just that perfect ripeness that she got. Or, actually, Opa bought it, but she ate it.
I mean, yeah. Because, that's the first time she's ever eaten an entire thing before asking if someone wants any of it.
She tasted a few pieces, and I tasted it, and then she hid out and ate the rest of it because she wanted to make sure she got all the good ones.
Yeah, I could see that.
Of course, that's probably all she ate that day, knowing your mom.
Yeah, she doesn't eat all that much. And yet, somehow, she isn't, you know, super unhealthily skinny. So,
right.
It's a balance. She should probably eat more, but still. Back to an actual question. What were your grandparents like?
You know, I never knew my grandparents. Both my grandparents passed away before my mother ever got married or had us. So I just saw pictures of my grandfather, the farmer, and my grandmother. And she died when my mother was 12 or 13. So I never, you know, she was, my mother didn't even know very much about her to tell us what she was like. So I just never knew my grandparents.
All right. This one's a doozy here. All right, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I don't even think you're in a position to answer this yet, but
okay.
Are you proud of me?
I am. I'm proud of both my grandsons. You're nice boys. You're fun to be around. You work hard. Could work a little harder.
I could work a little harder. Yes, that's very true.
You could, you know, you could do a little bit more that way. But you're nice to people, and that's what's most important to me. You're a nice person, and I think that's important.
All right. What topic do you want to talk about for the next, I don't know, like 2 or 3 minutes? Because there's only 4 minutes left in this recording, so we're going to have to get an outro at some point. Do you want to talk about raising children, parents, growing up, school, teachers, love and relationships, marriage and partnerships, working, religions? Let's not talk about that one.
No, we'll talk about, we could talk about working. I've had several jobs. Growing up, I worked as a babysitter from the time I was 12. So that I, like I said, we didn't have very much growing up, so we all had to work all summer babysitting the neighborhood kids, and I worked in the weekends. Once I graduated from high school, my first job was a secretary for Sears Roebuck and Company. I worked there for 6 years. I was a secretary for the first couple of years, and then I became an assistant buyer, which meant I went out to the garment district in Los Angeles and looked through our different manufacturers and picked out specific styles that I thought would sell in our stores and have them delivered. And then I could go downstairs to our retail store from my offices and check them out and see how they were doing and check the sales on them every week to see how they did. It was a fun job. I enjoyed that one. I liked being around fashion, as it were. And then I didn't work for several years when your mom was little. I stayed home. And then I went back to work, and I worked part-time doing anything and everything I could do within a set time frame so I could take her to school and pick her up. So I worked for a gentleman that had his own automotive business and mechanic and a tow business next door, and I used to tell people I worked for an all-male adult daycare center because that's what it felt like. It was grown men, but I was the mom, the resident mom. I baked everybody a birthday cake and answered the questions and put Band-Aids on their cut fingers, and I did that for about 5 or 6 years until I decided after your mom was in high school, I went to work full-time at an elementary school, and then I was transferred to the district office.
Is that what you were doing the last time I've seen you working?
Was at the district office.
Yeah.
I retired in 2008, the year before we took our cross-country trip. You were still quite young. You were 5 years old. But that's where I worked. That was very close to home. And that was my last job. So I didn't have a whole lot of jobs.
I think you probably had more than I'll ever have in my life.
No. People now, back when I was working at Sears, people would get in a job and stay in that job until they retired. They called it the retirement watch. You got a gold watch. People didn't move from business to business. You wanted to get some seniority built up in a company, so you didn't move around. But I noticed when I was working at the school district, we would have people that would work a year or two, and then they would go somewhere else and move up a ladder a little bit and then move to another place and move up, or move out of state and go to a different place altogether. So it was a little more fluid in the jobs now. So I could see when, by the time you're out of school and going around, you probably will have a number of jobs before it's over, before you actually finish and retire.
I mean,
I'd say you'd be lucky if you had less than 10.
Assuming all goes well, for the latter part, I'll probably still be in the same general area of work, whether that's building rockets or blowing things up. All right, so there is 46 seconds left. So,
why don't you do your closing?
That's what I'm doing. So,
okay.
Thank you for taking time out of your day to talk to me about your life. It was very interesting. A lot of it. Some of it was not nearly as interesting, but there were definitely a lot of interesting things there.
A few highlights, huh?
Yeah. So, have a great whatever time it is over there.
Yeah, I'll have a nice evening, and it's getting late, so you probably should be getting around, and I hope it's not, is it still snowing there? I thought it was snowing this morning.
It was snowing, but now it's not.
It stopped, okay. Okay, we'll call again anytime.